Welcome to Zichud Daf Siman. I'm Rabbi Avram Goldar, and today we're Masechas Erevin Daf Kaf Tes. The majority of this daf deals with identifying which foods can be used for an erev and the specific amounts required. So the 3 points we're going to focus on. Number one, Rav Nachman ruled that the minimum amount of apples required to make an erev is a kav, the amount sufficient for two meals. Now the Gemara challenges this ruling based on a ruling said in the name of Rav that 5 peaches are sufficient to make an erev. Since apples and peaches are both fruits, why does Rav Nachman require the larger amount of a kav for apples? So the Gemara answers, Hani Cheshive, the peaches are significant food for the meal. Rashi explains, based on the Gemara on the base, that for those foods which are eaten as part of the meal, the full equivalency of 2 meals is not required. Rather, only the amount of that food which would be eaten during the 2 meals needs to be placed in the erev. Whereas honey lo chishive, the apples are not significant, and the larger amount is required. And before she mentioned that the apples in Talmudic times were hard and not tasty. Point number two, it stated in the Mishnah mentioned earlier, mazon shtei seudos le'erev, and all foods combine to equal the amount of food for 2 meals, which is the amount required to make an erev. Rav Yosef thought to say, ad de'eka seuda mahai useuda mahai, that different foods may be combined only if there's an amount sufficient from this food for 1 meal and 1 meal from this food, but that smaller amounts of 3 or more foods may not be combined. Rabbi said to him, afil amechsa l'shlish u'raviyah, even a half, third, or a quarter of a meal may come from each of the foods. The only condition is that the combined total equals the amount of 2 meals. And point number three, Rabbi Achabrid, Rabbi Yosef thought to say before his father, Rabbi Yosef, that the amount of beer required to make an Erev is 2/4 of a kav or 2 lugim. This was based on a calculation made from Hilchos Shabbos regarding carrying, where the amount of beer one would be chay for carrying is 1/4 of a kav, which is 4 times the amount of wine one would be chay for carrying. So assuming this ratio of 4 to 1 is a standard, then if half a lug of wine is needed to make an Erev, then 2 lugim of beer should be required. Gemara says this equation does not apply, since the reason we need 4 times the amount of beer than wine for carrying is that we need something chashuv. Whereas with regards to an erev, we do not require an amount that's chashuv. We only require an amount that people would normally eat, which in the case of beer is less than 2 lugim. So once again, the 3 points are: number one, Rav Nachman ruled that the minimum amount of apples required to make an erev is a kav, the amount sufficient for 2 meals. Now the Gemara challenges this ruling based on a ruling said in the name of Rav, that 5 peaches are sufficient to make an erev, since apples and peaches are both fruits. So why does Rav Nachman require the larger amount of a kav for apples? The Gemara answers, Hani Cheshive, the peaches are significant food for the meal. Rashi explains, based on the Gemara on Amud Beis, that for those foods which are eaten as part of the meal, the full equivalency of 2 meals is not required. Rather, only the amount of that food which would be eaten during the 2 meals need to be placed in the erev. Hani lo chashivi, the apples are not significant, and the larger amount is required. The Mefarshim mentioned that the apples in Talmudic times were hard and not tasty. Point number two, today in the Mishnah mentioned earlier, b'mazon shtei seudos le'erev, and all foods combine to equal the amount of food for 2 meals, which is the amount required to make an erev. Rav Yosef thought to say, ad de'eka seuda mahai useuda mahai, that different foods may be combined only if there is a sufficient amount for this food for 1 meal, and 1 meal from this food, but that smaller amounts of 3 or more foods may not be combined. So Rabbi said to him, afil amechsa l'shlish u'raviyah, even a half, third, or a quarter of a meal may come from each of the foods. The only condition is that the combined total equals the amount of 2 meals. And point number three, Rav Achabrid, Rav Yosef thought to say before his father, Rav Yosef, that the amount of beer required to make an erev is 2/4 of a kav or 2 lugim. This was based on a calculation made from Hilchos Shabbos regarding carrying, where the amount of beer one would be chay for carrying is 1/4 of a kav, which is 4 times the amount of wine one would be chay for carrying. Assuming this ratio of 4 to 1 is standard, then if half a lug of wine is needed to make an erev, then 2 lugim of beer should be required. The Gemara says that this ratio doesn't apply, since the reason we need 4 times the amount of beer than wine for carrying is that we need something chashuv. Whereas with regards to an erev, we do not require an amount that's chashuv. We only require an amount that people would normally eat, which in the case of beer is less than 2 lugim. All right, so now we go to our siman, and the siman for Kaf Tes is a cot. So here goes. The indecisive erev maker put 5 peaches on his cot next to a cup of apples to decide which to use for his erev, then changed his mind and chose to combine 4 foods for 2 meals instead and include a little beer. Once again, in slow motion. The indecisive erev maker put 5 peaches on his cot. Cot, that must mean we're on Daf Chavtes. The indecisive Arab maker put 5 peaches on his cot next to a cup of apples, which reminds us that the reason why only 5 peaches are needed to make an Arab in contrast to a cup of apples is that peaches are considered chashuv, while apples are not, requiring a larger shear. So the indecisive Arab maker put 5 peaches on his cot next to a cup of apples to decide which to use for his Arab, then changed his mind and chose to combine 4 foods for 2 meals instead, which reminds us that when the Mishnah mentioned earlier, ubamazon shtei seudos le'erev, and all foods combined to equal the amount of food for 2 meals, which is the amount required to make an Erev, it means that smaller amounts of more food may be combined, and not what Rav Yosef thought, that different foods may be combined only if there's an amount sufficient from this food for 1 meal and 1 meal from this food. So the indecisive Erev maker put 5 peaches on his cot next to a cup of apples to decide which to use for his Erev, then changed his mind and chose to combine 4 foods for 2 meals instead, and include a little beer. Which reminds the Rav Acha bar Rav Yosef's measure for the amount of beer required to make an Erev, which he said was 2 lugin, based on the ratio of 4-1 from Hilchos Shabbos regarding caring, was faulty, since the reason we need 4 times the amount of beer than wine for caring is that we need something chashuv, whereas with regards to an Erev, we don't require the amount that's chashuv, we only require the amount that people would normally eat, which in the case of beer is less than 2 lugin. So once again, the indecisive Erev maker put 5 peaches on his cot next to a cup of apples to decide which to use for his Erev, then changed his mind and chose to combine 4 foods for 2 meals instead, and include a little beer. All right, now it's time for our 4 blot back Chazara. Dav Chafe, so the Simcha Chafe is a silver anniversary. So here goes. The husband's desperate attempts to make the silver anniversary party, silver anniversary, that must be on Dav Chafe. The husband's desperate attempts to make the silver anniversary party work in the non-residential Karpuff by re-enclosing it with a new inner fence, which reminds us that Karpuff Yosim Abesa Saim Shul Hukafadira, a karpuf of more than 2 basal, which was not enclosed for residential purposes, here chikminakosa arbabas mechitza, if he moved it 4 tfachim from the old wall and erected a new partition hoyo, it's effective in being considered a new enclosure of the karpuf, and thereby makes it a karpuf shehukavadira, and carrying is permitted. Pachas meshlosh lohoyo, if he erected a new partition that was less than 3 tfachim from the old wall, it's not effective, since the distance between the partition and the old wall is insignificant. The partition is not recognized as a new enclosure. Rashi explains that having mechitza al gav mechitza, it's comparable to a mechitza constructed over a pre-existing mechitza. It's a machlokas of the distance from the old wall to the new wall was from 3-4 tfachim. Rava says it is effective for re-enclosing the karpuf because the space between the walls is beyond the distance of lavud, whereas Rava says it is not effective since the area between the walls is not an area of 4 tfachim, it is not considered significant to deem it a new enclosure. So the husband's desperate attempts to make the silver anniversary party work in the non-residential karpuf by re-enclosing with a new inner fence and then putting mud on the inside of the old fence, which reminds the Gemara discusses a method of reducing the area of a karpuf enclosed for non-residential purposes to 2 basal or less. Tach botit, if one applied mud to the inside of the karpuf's walls, if the mud can stand on its own, it's an effective form of reduction and therefore caring is permitted. If the mud cannot stand on its own, Rava says, Havimut, it's an effective form of reduction, Hashta mihakai, because now at least the mud is standing, whereas Rava says, Lavimut, is not an effective form of reduction, Kavindu yachul mekum bifni atzmo, walkumhu. Since the mud cannot stand on its own, it's insignificant, and it does not reduce the size of the karpuf. So the husband's desperate attempts to make the silver anniversary party work in the non-residential karpuf by re-enclosing it with a new inner fence and then putting mud on the inside of the old fence came to naught when the outer wall of the mansion that was adjacent to it collapsed. Which reminds us, how busana da havisamachu guda da padna. There was an orchard that was adjacent to the wall of a mansion, and the outer wall of the mansion, which served as a wall of the orchard, collapsed. Even though this wall was the only one to enclose the orchard for residential use, and with its collapse, one would have thought the carrying would now become prohibited, since the orchard was greater than 2 beisa, Rabivi thought to say, Lismach aguda gavyasa, that they may rely on the inner wall of the house. Since the inner wall was constructed to enclose the house for dwelling purposes, it should enclose the orchard for the same purpose. Rabapi said to Rabivi that his reasoning was incorrect. Since the inner walls were made for the inside of the house and were not constructed to enclose the orchard for residential purposes, carrying in the orchard remains prohibited. Dav Chavav, so the Simcha Chavav is a military coup, so here goes. The enemy soldiers, that must be run Dav Chavav. The enemy soldiers hiding behind the pavilion in the orchard which reminds us, a case was introduced on the bottom of Daf Chaf Hei Amud Beis, in which the Reish Gauza had an arbor, a pavilion set up around a shady tree, in his orchard that was over 2 beisa and had not been designated for residential use. He asked Rav Huna Bar Chinina to adjust it for him so that they could go there on Shabbos and eat there. Rav Huna went and erected a fence of sticks, spaced less than 3 tefachim apart along both sides of the path leading from the house through the orchard to the arbor. Rashi explains that Rav Huna Bar Chinina held that it was prohibited to carry in the orchard because the arbor had been constructed only after the orchard's enclosure. Rava then went and pulled out the sticks because he held that the entire orchard was permitted. He held that the arbor was considered a residence, and putting it there converted the orchard into the courtyard of the arbor. Therefore, the orchard was considered enclosed for the use of the residents in it. The Gemara brings a few cases that support Rav Huna Bar Chinina's view that establishing a residence after the formation of an enclosure does not change the status of the enclosure. So the enemy soldiers hiding behind the pavilion in the orchard were so impressed by the temporary yeshiva set up next to the sick king's palace, which reminds us, the Gemara teaches that after Yeshayahu informed Yechizkiyahu that he was going to die, he exited the palace into the middle yard. The Gemara asks why Yeshayahu went out through this yard. Rashi explains that this yard was at the back of the palace and was not the typical way to leave the palace. Rabbi Bar Barchana said in the name of Yochanan, Malam Shechal Chizkia Vahalch Yeshayahu Vahoshiv Yeshiva Al Pischo. This teaches that Chizkia got ill, and Yeshayahu went and established a yeshiva near his door so that the schus of Limud Torah would protect him. From here we learn that when a Talmud Chochem gets sick, we should establish a yeshiva near his door. The Gemara rejects Rabbi Yochanan's advice, Dilma Asil Agri Bei Satan, because this might lead to inciting the Satan, meaning the Malach HaMavis, against him. So the enemy soldiers hiding behind the pavilion in the orchard were so impressed by the temporary yeshiva set up next to the sick king's palace that they surrendered and relinquished the rights to their courtyards and their homes. Which reminds that we stay in the Mishnah Daf Chav Gimel Amud Aleph that Rabbi Elai heard from Rabbi Eliezer that if one of the residents of a chatzar forgot and did not join in the Erev, then his house is forbidden for him to carry in and out of, and the other residents are permitted to carry in and out of his house. On our daf, the Gemara questions this ruling based on a Mishnah Daf Samach Tes Amud Aleph, where it stated that in the above case, his house is forbidden to all residents to carry in and out of. Rav Huna Breid Rav Yeshua answers that it's not a difficulty. Our Mishnah goes according to Rabbi Ezra, who holds Hamavatu Rishus Chatzero Beisu Bito. One who relinquishes the rights in his chatzer also relinquishes his rights in his home, thereby giving the others the right to carry in and out of it. The other Mishnah goes according to the Rabban, who hold Hamavatu Rishus Chatzero Rishus Beisu Bito. One who relinquishes his rights in his chatzer does not relinquish his rights in his home, and therefore the other residents as well may not carry in and out of his home. Daf Chav Zayin. So the Simcha Chav Zayin is a kazoo. So here goes. Even though the music school said all instruments were welcome, the kid with the kazoo was banned. Kazoo? That must mean we're on Daf Chav Zayin. So even though the music school said all instruments were welcome, the kid with the kazoo was banned, which reminds us, the opening mission of the third parak states, B'kol ma'arvim shtafin chutz min ha'mayim min ha'melch. We may make an erev, meaning erev tchumim, or shitufu mavos, with any food except for water and salt. Rav Yochanan said, Ein l'midim mina klos. We cannot learn from general rules, afil b'mak mishenemar b'chutz, even when the rule concludes by saying, except, and specific exceptions are listed, it is not absolute. Rav Yochanan made his statement in reference to a Mishnah Kedushin that says, Kol mitzvah shazman grama anashim v'chayavim v'nashim b'turos. All time-bound positive mitzvahs men are obligated in and women are exempt. And mitzvahs which are not time-bound, both women and men are obligated in. This rule is not absolute, because women are indeed obligated in the mitzvahs of matzah, simcha, and hakel, even though their mitzvahs asir shazman grama, and they're exempt from Talmud Torah, Pruavu, and Pidyana Ben, even though those mitzvahs are not time-bound. Similarly, our Mishnah, as pointed out later in the Gemara, does not mention that one may also not make an erev with truffles or mushrooms. So even though the music school said all instruments were welcome, the kid with the kazoo was banned. So dejectedly, he went to the store and spent his Meiser Sheni money on salt water, which reminds the Mishnah also stated, Hakol nikach bekesef Meiser chutz min ha'mayim min ha'melech. All types of food may be purchased with Meiser Sheni monies except for water and salt. In the Gemara, there's machlokes regarding if one can purchase a mixture of salt and water with Meiser Sheni money. One holds that one may buy salt water with Meiser Sheni. Rashi explains that since salt water is used as a dip for bread, it qualifies as a significant food. The other holds that salt water cannot be purchased with Maaseh She'ni because Perbein, a fruit or something similar, must be purchased. The one who holds that salt water may be purchased with Maaseh She'ni would certainly permit using salt water for an Erev, and the Ritva explains that Maaseh She'ni would have greater restrictions since it's a Daraisa and an Erev is a Darabanan. So even though the music school said all instruments were welcome, the kid with the kazoo was banned. So dejectedly, he went to the store and spent his Maaseh She'ni money on salt water, making sure they mixed some oil in. Which reminds the Gemara taught that Rabbi Yitzchak, who says that one can buy salt water with Maaseh She'ni, only allowed that if there was oil mixed into it. The Gemara said one can buy Maaseh She'ni with oil alone. So what's the chiddush that one may purchase Maaseh She'ni with salt water mixed with oil? The Gemara answers that the chiddush is the concept of havla, which means that one may pay more for the oil due to the value of the mixed in water and salt, even though the water and salt themselves do not become Maaseh She'ni. The Gemara brings a braisa that teaches the source of this concept, that Ben Bagbag said that the extra word babakar in the pasuk regarding purchasing foods with Maaseh She'ni teaches that we may purchase cattle and pay extra for its hides, even though the hides do not become Maaseh She'ni. Daf Chav Ches. So the Simcha Chav Ches is a strong man. So here goes. The big strong man, that must be on Daf Chav Ches. The big strong man was going to eat the bird he bought with his Maaseh She'ni money. Which reminds us on Daf Chav Zayin Amud Beis, two braises learned from the pasuk of Maaseh She'ni, utilizing klal prat uklal, which foods can be purchased with Maaseh She'ni funds. One braisa concluded that the food must be prima priva gedule karka, something that reproduces from its own seed and is nourished by the ground. The other braisa concluded that it must be vlad vlados haaretz, generated by something that was created from the ground. The Gemara asked what foods these two braisas were arguing about, and after rejecting a suggestion that was erroneously presented in the name of Abaya, Ravina answers that the machlokes is about birds. The first braisa includes birds because they're also nourished from the ground, whereas the second braisa excludes them because they were not created from the ground, but from the rakak, a place where there was both dry land and water. The Gemara goes on to explain how each braisa arrived at their conclusion based on the different way they understood how to apply the principle of klal prat uklal. So the big strong man was going to eat the bird he bought with his Maaseh She'ni money by his erev made of coriander, which reminds us, it was said in the name of Rav, Ma'arvin B'gudanios, one may make an erev with coriander. The Gemara questions this based on a braisa that teaches that since coriander causes one to diminish a zera, it should not be eaten by those without children. And if the stalks became hard enough for the seeds to have ripened, then even those with many children should not eat it since it's harmful to one's health. How then could it be considered a significant food to be used as an erev if it had such a detrimental effect? The Gemara gives three answers. Number one, Rav only permitted them to be used for an erev for those who had children, and only when they were not hardened enough to harm them. Answer number two, even those that were not hardened were permitted to be used for an erev by those that did not have children, since they are suitable for those that do. Similar to permitting wine to be used by Nazir for an erev, since wine is permitted to others. And answer number three, Rav only permitted Median coriander, which is a harmless variety. So the big strong man was going to eat the bird he bought with his Maaseh She'ni money by his erev made of coriander right after his lesson from a young boy on the brachos for green grains and hops. Which reminds, Rabbi Zera had a discussion with the young boy outside the Beis HaMidrash regarding the brachos for kashus v'chaziz, hops and green grain. The boy said that his Rebbe taught him the bracha for hops was borei pri adama and the bracha for green grain was shehakol nyeh b'varo. Rabbi Zera said it was more logical that the bracha for green grain should be ha'adama, since it grows from the ground, whereas the hops should be shehakol, since it's nourished from the air. Rashi explains that hops do not sprout from the earth, but grow on prickly branches of shrubs. The Gemara concludes that the halacha is like the schoolboy and explains that since hops are a fully matured fruit, a borei pri adama is said, whereas green grains are not fully ripened, so a borei pri adama is not recited. Hops are also nourished from the ground, which is evident when they die after a shrub is cut down. All right, now it's time to conclude with our pop quiz of 10 questions plus 3 bonus questions from Sukkot, Brachos, and Shavuos. Number 1. Which stuff in the coriander can be used for an erev despite its potential for harmful effects? That's on Daf Chav Ches. Good. Number 2. Which stuff to learn that the amount of beer used for an erev is less than 2 lugim, and we do not use the ratio of 4 to 1, which is used with regards to Hilchos Shabbos? That's on Daf Chav Ches. Good. Number 3. Which tafti of a machlokes is whether birds can be purchased with Maaseh She'ni monies? That's on Daf Chav Ches. Good. Number 4. Which tafti of a machlokes is whether salt water can be purchased with Maaseh She'ni monies? That's on Daf Chav Zayin. Good. Number 5. Which tafti when the Rabbi Yochanan teaches Engla Mina Min HaKlalos? That's on Daf Chav Zayin. Good. Number six. Wish up to go in the brachas of our hops is a Adama, and the brach of our green grains is a Shehakol. That's on Daf. Chav Ches. Good. Number seven. Wish up to go in that one can make an error with five peaches, but needs a Kav if using apples. That's on Daf. Chav Tes. Good. Number eight. Wish up to go in the source for Bikiva Shita that the Karpuf must be square. That's on Daf. Chav Gimel. Good. Number nine. Wish Daf the one must put oil in the salt water, which is purchased by Meister Sheni, based on the concept of Havra. That's on Daf. Chav Zayin. Good. Number ten. Wish Daf the one can combine many foods to equal the amount of two meals to make the Erev. That's on Daf. Chav Tes. Great. Now the three bonus questions. Number one. Wish Daf the one why the birds of Babel were fatter than those in Eretz Yisrael. That's on Daf. Kuf Mem Hei and Shabbos. Good. Number two. Which up they learn about Elisha Baal Kanafayim? That's on Daf. Mem Tes and Shabbos. Good. And number three. Which stuff do we learn? Al Tiftach Peh LaSatan. That's on Daf. Yud Tes and Brachas. Excellent. All right. That concludes our pop quiz. This is Rabbi Avram Goldman Zichu. Wishing you a great day and great learning.